Surprise, surprise, Joseph. The God of surprises. Do you like surprises? Some of them, maybe, huh? Not all of them, but every year it isn't a surprise, it seems like. But we human beings, we crave orderliness, we crave stability, we crave certitude, and we crave predictability. And that's why we spend so much time trying to organize things and then take all the fun out of it. It's why we study history. It's why we study economics. We're looking for patterns of predictability. And it's why we pass laws and rules so we can build our lives on order, to have some kind of order in our lives and in our society. And it's also why some of us withdraw from life, while others become very manipulative and controlling. Disorder frightens us, surprises and scares us. We don't like it. You know, there was a time not too long ago when we thought that our scholars and our scientists would soon be able to predict and therefore control just about everything after the Enlightenment. Huh? And we'd be able to make neat little rules and procedures for making the world perform just exactly the way we want it to perform. But I guess we've learned that life is a little bit more complicated than what we thought. In fact, it's more complicated probably than we want it to be. So we're coming to the realization that meteorologists, weather forecasters, will never be able to predict the weather. Economists will never be able to tell us what we want to know. And there are no rules, no procedures, however carefully drafted, that can suffice for every and all occasions. My brothers and sisters, it's our destiny to dwell in the land of surprises, in which new challenges come our way, new opportunities come our way, and they await us around every bend in every year of our life. There's new challenges and new opportunities. In the absence of an all-purpose rule book or a comprehensive owner's manual, how shall we know how to deal with surprises? Well, came to the right place. Today's gospel tells us how to deal with surprises. There's not much about Joseph in the scriptures. We don't know anything about him. But I think this story, to me, speaks volumes of the man. Joseph is betrothed to this beautiful young teenage girl who is living with her parents until he can raise the dowry. And then one day she drops by the carpenter shop, and his face brightens up when he sees this lovely bride-to-be. And then she drops the bomb. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He's devastated. He goes numb. He can't speak. He doesn't know what to say. And then she leaves crying. And as the hours pass along, slowly, he turns it over and over and over in his mind and in his heart. And he knows what his religion tells him to do. He knows the laws and what he's supposed to do in this situation. I hope you know what they are. If you don't, he was to denounce her to the authorities and assist in stoning her to death in front of her parents' home. What a tragedy that would have been. But that was the religious law and rules and regulations. So thank God he wasn't too religious. But anyhow, gotta watch out for those people. Anyway, so he's hurt. His heart won't let him blindly follow those kind of rules, even if they're in the Bible. Of course, they didn't call it the Bible. Even if they're written, supposed to be God's words and commands, he's not going to follow them. But perhaps he's thinking, I can divorce her quietly. But still, he doesn't act. He prays some more and prays. And then in the middle of the night, the Spirit who dwells in him, who dwells in all of us, shows him the way and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. so in tune with the Spirit in his life, in his dreams. Now, with a peaceful heart, Joseph puts his fears away, and he takes Mary into his home. On that day of terrible surprise, shock, pain, a day that Joseph could have never imagined in his wildest nightmare, something very powerful enabled him to reach beyond the narrow programmed response dictated by his upbringing and by his religious upbringing as well. What was it? Well, for me, it was the habits of his heart. It must have been a lifetime of graciousness and compassion, listening to the Spirit, walking with God in his life, and listening to the Spirit of God, who always helps us to see life differently and afresh. Out of those habits of the heart came Joseph's ability and willingness in this moment of surprise to look beyond the laws, beyond the rules, and to the person of Mary. And then to act with compassion, forgetting his fears and his doubts, forgetting everything else but the person. He has a lesson to teach all of us. To see beyond everything else, the laws, the rules, and get to the person. In doing that, he's acting like God. Because God sees beyond all the outer surface stuff and can see to the very heart of each one of us. God always goes beyond God's own rules. In fact, there's a very well-known scripture scholar, especially the Old Testament, Hebrew scriptures, who has asked, you know, what is God like? He says, well, God is always breaking God's rules. God always says, okay, I'm going to make a rule, but then, nope, I didn't mean it. Nope. That one, well, forget that. That worked for a time. Now let's move on to another. The law of love surpasses and supersedes all other laws. All of them, church or religious laws, the law of love supersedes them. With God, and God's love is unconditional and non-judgmental. That's Joseph. He must have taught that to Jesus. And that's what Jesus teaches us all. Be non-judgmental. There will never be an end to life's surprises. As long as you live, there's always going to be some surprises in your life. And there's no rules and there's no laws and there's no axioms that can ever fully prepare us for everything that's going to happen in our lives. So only those hearts whose habits are gracious and compassionate, whose traveling companion is the Spirit, that will be ready for life's surprises. So in the Desiderata, I love that. It talks about building strength of spirit in your life so that whatever comes down the road, you'll be ready for it and won't be devastated from it. Wise advice for all of us. And so those who follow the Spirit, their deeds will mirror God's face. And that's what we're to do, is mirror God's face in life. You know, Joseph was a kingdom person. And I'd like to end this homily with, I think it complements, I believe it complements what I just said. But Richard Rohr's, one of his meditations, often do in me, spoke to me this week of what does a kingdom person look like? What are we to look like? And this is entitled, Thy Kingdom Come means My Kingdom Go. And so Richard says this. He says, I hope you've met at least one kingdom person in your life. Joseph is a kingdom person to me. A kingdom person, they are surrendered and trustful people. Joseph was surrendered and trustful. You sense that their life is okay at the core of their being. Everything's okay at the core. Things outside can be going nuts, but at the core you're okay. And they have given control to another, which is to God. And are at peace, which paradoxically allows them to calmly be in control. A kingdom person lives for what matters, for life in its deepest and lasting sense. There's a kind of gentle absolutism about their lifestyle, an inner freedom to do whatever they have to do, and they do it joyfully. Kingdom people feel like grounded and yet spacious people at the same time. The best of the conservative and the best of the progressive types in the same body. I call these people integrated people. Anyways, the kingdom people, Rohr says, are anchored by their awareness of God's love deep within them and deep within everyone else too. They happily live on a level playing field where God has come to pitch his tent among all of us, not just some of us. But God pitches his tent among all of us. All the games of classism, racism, sexism, religious superiority, and nationalism are henceforth seen to be a waste of valuable time and energy that could be used for positive good. Richard's always good at advice. Are you a kingdom person? Did I just describe you?